And I just want you guys to know, I've got the jitters a little bit. I'm excited. I can't wait for what God has to speak to us this morning. It's Generation Sunday, and this is one of my favorite weeks out of the entire year. We have a handful of these throughout the year. I mean, this is one of my favorite services because I look across the auditorium like I was just able to do during worship and be able to look at our children, some of our parents, our grandparents in the room, and we come into this multi-generational room, and we are able to praise together, we're able to worship together, we're able to be challenged together, to grieve, to celebrate, to commune. But I'm just excited because I think the Lord's got something really special this morning. Amen? As I was thinking about this morning, I wanted to challenge us this morning by doing one thing that I've been challenging our youth. And our youth, you guys can give me a head nod because you guys will listen to this and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been challenging our youth students to take notes. Every message, every sermon, every devotional that we do, I've been challenging them to take notes this morning. So we're going to do this all together as a group. If you've got a pen and a paper, if you've got a notebook, if you got your Bible that you want to do some chicken scratch in, do some highlighting in, if you want to grab your phone, I need you guys, whatever you have, go ahead and lift it up in the air. Go ahead and grab that Connect card right in front of you and use that as a note-taking device this morning. But go ahead and keep it up in the air. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to take some notes. It's time to take some notes. Youth students, maybe have this be a lesson that you can teach the person to the left or right of you. It's time to take some notes. Not because I've got anything special, but because I feel like the Lord's really on this message this morning. We're going to spend some time talking about the generation gap. The generation gap. It's Gen Sunday. We're going to be talking about the generation gap. Now, I want us to do a solid and just picture what I'm getting ready to enter into this morning. Imagine a family sitting at a dining room table. Whether it be your Thanksgiving meal, your Christmas meal, your time where you get to come together as a family and you've got multi-generational family gatherings, whether it be a family dinner that maybe you plan once a month. But just imagine yourself at that table, and I want you to imagine that nobody's talking. Grandparents feel ignored, parents feeling overwhelmed, kids feeling misunderstood. Everyone's present but disconnected. And that picture, if we're not careful, sometimes turns into the way that the church looks. Not divided by doctrine, but just divided by generation. Divided by genres of music, entertainment, lifestyle, how we raise kids versus how my parents raise kids, style of communication, you name it, you insert whatever you feel like the differences are, but there's a disconnect, a divide. And the one thing that I really felt like I was supposed to talk about this morning is about how if the enemy can't destroy the church, he oftentimes tries to divide it. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the generation gap. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, would I be able to slip away unnoticed? Would your word come forth and speak truth and life to our congregation in Jesus' name? And everyone said, amen. The generation gap. You know, oftentimes I was doing some study, and I wanted to talk about these eight ways that division happens in the church by generations. And if we're not careful, what can happen is if you don't ever expose something, you won't be able to heal what you won't reveal. And I wanted to be able to reveal some things that is not going to be a judging type of pointing a finger type of thing this morning. These are things that I've personally got convicted of as I was doing my devotionals, being able to talk about these kinds of things. But I do feel like there might be something that us as a church can learn from these eight divisions that the enemy tries to divide us as a generational church. So let's expose them this morning. Point number one, turn to your neighbor and say point number one. Point number one of how the enemy divides a church is by preference wars. Preference wars. We're going to get into it. Let's challenge ourselves this morning. You see, division often starts with something small. Music, style, how church should feel versus one generation versus the other. One generation says it's too loud, while the next generation says it's too traditional. We all know these kinds of arguments. And what began as a preference slowly becomes a conviction and then eventually turns into a judgment. We stop asking, is God being honored? And we start asking, am I comfortable? The moment that you start asking, am I comfortable, is the moment that the Lord stops being honored. It's important to know that when preference becomes priority, unity becomes optional. When preference becomes priority, unity becomes optional. Church, it's so important that when we come into a church service that we don't focus on our preferences, we focus on how we can become united and still worship under one God. It's important to know that preference wars is one of the ways that the enemy uses to divide. Point number two this morning is pride on both sides. Pride. Pastor Seth just spoke on this a couple weeks back, but pride being on both sides. And let me tell you, this is not a young person problem, and it's not an old person problem. I'm going to baffle us this morning. It's a human problem. We all deal with pride in some way or another. It's important to know that it's not a generational problem. It's just a human problem. The younger often say, they don't get it. But the older often say, they don't respect it. And the problem is if we're not careful, pride sounds different depending on age, but it divides the same way. Pride will divide. Philippians 2:3 talks about this a lot. Philippians 2:3, if you're taking notes, write this down so that you can go home and read it. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourself. Scripture says to walk in humility and value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:3-5. And I'll put it this way. Pride often says that my way is better. Humility says that we're better together. When we walk in humility, we actually see the wonderful variation of gifts being able to be displayed. But when we walk in pride, those gifts are never able to actually come to the forefront. It's important to know that pride separates. Number three, the way that the enemy often uses things to divide us is a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding. We judge what we don't understand. We often judge what we don't understand. Now, to expand on this on both sides, I like giving plenty of examples. The older generation may not understand the anxiety or the pressure or the digital culture that a lot of our young people are walking in today. But in the same breath, younger generation, my middle school, high school, young adults, you guys may not understand the sacrifice, the endurance, the long-term faithfulness of those of the older generation. And it's important to know that just a lack of understanding can cause us to be divided. And instead of asking questions, what we often do is we make assumptions. Well, they just don't understand what I'm currently going through. Or what they went through isn't as tough as what I did. And if we're not careful, instead of asking questions and understanding each other, we often make assumptions, and all it does is continue to divide. We say things like the younger don't have drive or work ethic, but then the younger also says that my parents were workaholics and they were never around. This is one of, again, plenty of different kinds of arguments or examples that I could give, but just one of them. And the reality is the older generation had wonderful work ethic to go support and be there for their families, to go put food on the table. So young person, we have to make sure that we ask questions. Our parents weren't necessarily workaholics. Our parents were trying to support us. But then also in the same breath, the younger generation are creating new ways to possibly do that same thing. So when we often look at the younger generation and say, hey, the work ethic isn't there, they're lazy, when in reality, it could just be that they're creating new avenues in order to stay home with their kids and also get food on the table. This is just one of the many examples you can insert, but this is just one of them that I put. And the problem is if we're not careful, that assumption builds walls. But understanding builds bridges. It's important to know that assumption, as soon as we start assuming about one another, what said person to the left or right of me does, or why they do the things that they do, and we don't hear proper perspective, what it happens is it builds walls in between the seat that you're sitting next to. But understanding, just by understanding, it immediately builds a bridge for you to actually have a relationship with the person to the left and right of you. The fourth thing is isolation instead of relationship. The enemy has really done a really great job of dividing us by keeping us isolated. Isolation is another one. Isolation instead of a relationship. Let me put it this way. We've mastered being in the same building, but not in the same life. Let's have it sit there for a second. Church, I am at times some of the biggest culprits. And I said to start, and I want you to really just hear my heart, I personally have gotten convicted about a couple of these. This is not me by any means. This is not the Lord looking at you and saying you're doing things wrong. This is, I just want to correct you. I want you to know that there's been times in my life where I've came into this building on a Sunday morning and had surface level conversations, but then I never actually do life with people. It's important to know that we've mastered at being in the same building, but not in the same life. Or in other words, I'll put it this way, we're good at family reunions, but not good at being a family. And if we're not careful, this can be another dividing factor between generation to generation. We're good at coming together at a family reunion and having dinner and then just leaving and not having any deeper kinds of conversations and deep relationship. If we're not careful, we'll be good at family reunions, but not at being a family. To expand a little bit, if the church does not have any mentorship, no shared conversations, no intentional connection, you will eventually find yourself being divided. Titus 2 talks about this. Titus 2 is an entire chapter reminding us, old and young, it actually talks about old men, older women, making sure that you are teaching the younger. But it also talks about how the younger are supposed to be looking up to the older because they have wisdom. Let's actually read it this morning. I don't know if I have this up there, but let me read it. It says, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and in endurance. It goes on to say later in verse 3, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. We know how to gather in rows, but we don't always know how to live life in circles. We know how to come into a church building and sit next to each other, but leave and never talk to each other from Monday to Saturday. It's crazy how the enemy has caused division. And we never, I know that there are some individuals in this place. You think about what church was like when you grew up. And in your mind, you're thinking that will never be the case. But we're now living in a society where we say hi to each other on a Sunday, but don't even talk to each other from a Monday to Saturday. And somewhere along the way, we traded real relationship for comfortable distance. The fifth way that the enemy divides is a fence that goes unhealed. A fence that goes unhealed. Division rarely starts loud. It often starts quiet. Examples that I can give you. They overlooked me. They didn't listen to my perspective or what I was going through. They don't value me. These are oftentimes the things that we say when a fence goes unhealed. And what isn't healed eventually hardens. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31, it says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. There's two words in there that I love. It says get rid of all and along with every. It doesn't say get rid of some bitterness and a couple forms of malice. It says all and every. It's important to know that even some small bits of bitterness can turn into division. It goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. When's the last time that you forgave? When's the last time that I forgave? God, test my heart this morning. Just as in Christ forgave you. This next point that I want to talk about is something called comparison and criticism. This is our sixth way that the enemy uses to divide. We've become experts at pointing out what's wrong with each other. Too soft, too rigid. And instead of receiving from each other, we reduce each other. Whenever I've walked in comparison in my life or walked in criticism in my life, it forces me to stop receiving and start rejecting the life and relationship that God actually has for me. Whenever I've compared myself to the person to the left of me, to the right of me, the end of my street, the Joneses, whenever I've compared or criticized what should have been life and possibly a wonderful wisdom that could have came my way eventually turned into rejection because I was already comparing when really I should have been listening. You see, you can't receive what you've already rejected. It's important to know, don't walk in rejection, because when you walk in rejection, you're never able to receive what God has for you in that relationship. The seventh is fear, the hidden divider. I'm almost done with these ways to divide. I'm going to give us five answers on how we're supposed to act this morning, what our action is, excuse me. Number seven is fear. And this is often known as the hidden divider, fear. This one is deeper than we often admit. The older generation fears about losing what matters, but the younger generation fears being stuck or irrelevant. And both sides are trying to protect something, but fear makes us defensive instead of collaborative. Fear causes us to pray for clarity and not for faith. I've been talking about this with our young people, and oftentimes if we're not careful, we can pray prayers like this. And I've done this, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me in this, because I've prayed for things like, God, give so-and-so clarity. Lord, give them clarity. Give them the right paths to take. And again, there's a portion of that that can be true. But oftentimes when we pray for clarity, the way that we think clarity should be is, God, show me steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 10. God, show me steps 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. But in reality, God says, if I show you that, then you're not going to be faithful as just taking step one. Yeah. And if we're not careful when we pray for clarity, God then shows us what our next season of life is going to be. And we go, I don't want that. Don't give me those trials, right? Don't give me those problems, because even though those problems might be able to bring forth something good or bring forth a strength that I did not know I had, but because I'm in him, I've got that strength. But if we're not careful, we will pray for clarity and God will say, okay, well, here's what you're going to walk through. And we go, I do not want that. Please don't give me that, Lord. And then we're not able to actually receive the gift that he has for us by just walking in faith. To put it this way, Abraham dealt with this, and there's a scripture that I want to read this morning. It's in Hebrews 11:8, and it says this. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, Abraham didn't have a map. When God said, Abraham, get up and start walking, God didn't tell him, you're going to walk here, then you're going to this destination, then you're going to go to this destination, then you're going to go to that spot, then you're going to go to that town. God said, Abraham, get up and start walking. And scripture says that by faith, not by clarity, it says by faith, Abraham went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, if we start just walking, God will continue to appoint our steps. God called him to leave his hometown not knowing where he was going to be going, and this crazy thing happened. Little did Abraham know that the ground he was about to walk on would be what he received as his inheritance. It's baffling. It's a wonderful read, and this is just, again, the New Testament referencing this Old Testament story. But it's crazy that Abraham, if he said, God, you know what? I'm not going to walk in faith in this current situation. I'm going to pray for clarity. Then he would not have received his inheritance by the ground at which he walked on. Every step that he took eventually became his inheritance. You see, fear builds walls, but faith builds legacy. When you walk in fear, it continues to build up the walls that we talked about earlier. But when you walk in faith, it continues to build your legacy, because those that are coming behind you will be able to then live in that inheritance that God is declaring over you right now. You see, if we want generational wealth, we need to change our fearful, clarity-type prayers and change them for faithful, obedient ones. Our eighth and final one is a lack of honor. You see, when honor leaves, division accelerates. The younger stop valuing wisdom when there's a lack of honor. When there's a lack of honor with the older stop valuing the potential. It's this catch-22. You see, honor isn't agreement, it's recognition of value. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says this, younger, submit to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. That word humility. And this line that I want to give you guys this morning is, what you don't honor will eventually disconnect you from. What you don't honor, you eventually disconnect from. You see, when the young stop honoring those who built the ground that you walk on, division has begun. But then in the same breath, when the older stop valuing the young's potential, division has already begun. So we've talked about eight ways that division creeps into our church that the enemy often uses, but I don't want to spend all this time talking about all of the things that we should be working on. I actually want to give answers this morning because there is also a call and a transition to hope. So what should we do? Because this isn't just a diagnosis. I really feel like the Lord's going to heal us in some of these areas this morning. Amen? So number one, our action step this morning, possibly one of them, choose honor over opinion. Honor means I choose to value you even when I don't agree with you. Honoring even when I don't agree. You see, in generational conflict, opinions are everywhere. We talked about this earlier. Church should feel like this. Worship should sound like this. Things should be done this way. But Scripture never commands agreement. It commands honor. There's two scriptures here. Romans 12:10 says this, honor one another above yourselves. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother. Honor those who are over you. To go deeper this morning, honor is not earned, it is given. And if you only honor when you agree, that's not honor, that's preference. We come into church services and we honor when it's what we desire. But then if we're not careful, we don't honor when it's not the style of music we like to listen to. Or if it's not the correct sermon series that Pastor Jay should be talking about right now, because our church is walking through something different. When in reality, God's saying just honor, even when you don't agree, because if you honor only when you feel like it, or only when it's your preference, that's not honor. The younger generation, can I give you guys some advice this morning? Middle school and high school students, speak with respect, not dismissal. We oftentimes can look at the older and go, oh, but you don't understand what I'm walking through right now. But in reality, if you walk in honor, some of your parents or your grandparents are going to be the ones who give you the wisdom to get you through whatever you're walking through. Older generation, listen without belittling or shutting down. If I can put it this way, and I can say this, I still qualify myself as a young person, kind of. Sometimes the things that come out of my mouth, they're really dumb. I'm really not that smart, especially when I'm walking through things in life. But if we're not careful, some of our older generation will look at that and go, just stop talking. You don't know what you're going through. Let me give you the answer. And if we belittle or shut that down too quickly, then our younger generation will go, well, they don't ever want to hear anything that I'm talking to them about. So the wisdom will never come forth. It's the same both sides, and I don't want to piggyback on one generation and say one's worse than the other. This is not a generational problem. We talked about it earlier. It's a human problem. This happens in life all across the board. So you see, unity doesn't require us to think the same, but it does require us to value each other. Our second answer this morning is to choose curiosity over assumption. Choose curiosity over assumption. Assumption says, I already know why they act like that. Curiosity says, help me understand your perspective. Most division isn't caused by truth. It's caused by misunderstanding. James 1:19 says this, and I want you guys to finish the second portion of this. James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, but what? Slow to speak. Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Scripture talks about making sure that we are quick to listen, but slow to speak. You see, when we stop listening, we oftentimes start labeling. They're too emotional, or they're too rigid. But listening reveals a heart, it reveals history, and it also reveals intention. It reveals all three. And to the application here this morning is to encourage simple conversations. Questions like, why does that matter? Why does that matter to you? Is there a different perspective that I'm not viewing right now? Or what shaped your perspective? Is it because of what you walk through? Can you explain that more? And the younger, we can learn something just by listening more. And in the same breath, the older cannot be so belittling or dismissing because the younger, to be honest, it might sound a little silly. It might sound dumb. But it's important to know that both sides, it's important to not assume, but to be able to walk in and just start asking questions. Because you can't build unity with people you refuse to understand. You can't build unity with people you refuse to understand. Number three, choose relationship over distance. I'm rounding third base, heading home. You choose relationship over distance. This is my first of 15 closings, so we're getting close. Choose relationship over distance. Unity doesn't happen at a distance. It happens in a relationship. Many churches have shared spaces, but separate lives. God's design is not just attendance, it's connection. Titus 2, we talked about this earlier, and I read it. It's older teaching and investing in younger, and younger honoring the older. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. We're supposed to be doing life with each other. You see, discipleship is relational. Growth is relational. Unity is relational. It's not dumbfounding this morning. It's not some grandeur type of point, but it's important to remind ourselves discipleship is relational. You're never going to disciple at a distance. You can't understand from a distance. You can't grow from a distance. You can't listen from a distance. You can't unite with someone from a distance. You see, the American church today across America has mastered proximity, but we're still learning connection. If we're not careful, we can master proximity, but still be learning connection. We talked about this earlier. It's important not to just walk into a church service on a Sunday and not do life with each other Monday through Saturday. And this is not just with your best friend that you're sitting right next to right now. This is maybe once a month you going and grabbing someone who can learn from your wisdom. Younger, maybe it's you going out with your parents and asking them deeper questions. Maybe it's you going to a life group that maybe you have not joined yet. It's important to know it's important that connection is needed, not just proximity. Connection is what we need to be seeking, not proximity. Number four, choose humility over pride. Choose humility over pride. We've talked about this a lot. Pride divides, humility unites. See, every generation has something to learn, and I hope that that's my heart this morning. We're not picking on one generation, but this multi-generational church, we have everyone in this room has something to learn, something to give. In Philippians 2, 3, it says, in humility, value others above yourselves. In 1 Peter 5, 5, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. These are just two scriptures that I pulled up. You see, pride says, we've always done it this way, I know better. But humility says there's something more that we can learn together. Humility creates space for other voices. So the application this morning, older generation, be open to new ways that God can move. But also the younger, I put in capital letters and be teachable and patient, younger generation. Be teachable and patient. Because we can often go into those kinds of conversations with people who have walked a lot more life than us. And we're not coachable, we're not teachable. And we oftentimes want it immediately. Be teachable and be patient. You see, the moment we think we don't need each other is the moment we start dividing from each other. The moment that we don't think we need each other is the moment we start dividing. Point number five, and then we're gonna get ready to head into our altar response time. Choose legacy over preference. And this is how we're gonna end our service, and I love this morning. Legacy asks, what am I passing on? I love Pastor Jay's, one of his points that he often talks about is that we gotta make sure that we have that parental spirit, that we're not just looking out for our lives, but we're looking out for those that are gonna be walking behind us. If we have that child spirit or that orphan spirit, then we're only looking for things for ourselves. But if we're not careful, your legacy will not be as influential and valuable if you do not have that parent-like spirit. Psalms 145:4 says this, one generation shall praise your works to another. Isn't that a powerful, powerful scripture? One generation shall praise their works to another. And Judges 2:10 says, a generation arose that did not know the Lord. I don't have time to go into it this morning, but that verse in Judges, it didn't just happen overnight to catch you guys up on this. It happened because something wasn't passed down. You see, when preference wins, transmission loses. When preference wins, transmission loses. Or in other words, if we're not careful, the next generation won't miss God because he didn't move. They'll miss him because we were too busy defending our preferences to pass down his promise. I'm gonna say it one more time. If we're not careful, the next generation won't miss God because he did not move. They'll miss him because we were too busy defending our preferences to pass down his promise. If we fight more over style than we invest in people, we may preserve a moment, but we'll lose a generation. Judges 2 talks about how a generation came to know him. That did not happen overnight. It happened because they chose legacy over preference. So as the band gets ready to make their way back up, I have this closing story I want to read you guys. And I don't know if you guys saw it. If you guys just want to start to prepare, a lot of you guys might have been given these already. But if you haven't, I have some up in the balcony on the stations and also up here. And in a moment, I want you guys to be able to grab some of these. But I want us for a moment just to imagine a church where the older generation says, we're going to invest in you. The younger generation says, we're going to honor you. And the middle, maybe you're in the middle this morning. What if you're the connection point for both? And when I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about what that actually looks like to be a multi-generational church, it's not just a healthy church, it's a powerful church. So the call this morning is to reflect and maybe ask yourself, where have I allowed division in my heart? Who do I need to honor, forgive, or understand this morning? You see, because revival doesn't just happen when people gather, it happens when generations unite. So the story I want to read, and then we're going to head into, I really believe, this Holy Spirit type of moment this morning, is there is this young man named John. And John tells this story, and no, this is not John Anderson. I'm going to throw it out there just off the get-go for those of you guys already wondering. But there's this young man named John, and his father was a pastor, and he was a pastor that was faithful. He was a pastor that was steady. He was a pastor that was committed. But growing up, John didn't always see him that way. He saw the long hours, the strict standards, and the discipline. And John says that if he's honest, there were moments he didn't fully understand his father. And as he got older, there were things he wished were different. Moments that John didn't really appreciate. Moments and lessons that he didn't value at the time. Conversations he probably rushed through. And then one day, unfortunately, his father passed away. And after his father was gone, John began to do something that a lot of us do after loss. He began to go through his father's things. And he was going through his old sermons, his notes, his Bibles, and he started to see something that he had missed his entire life. He missed his father's faithfulness. He realized that the man that he once misunderstood was the man who had been quietly building a foundation for his life. All the prayers, all the consistency, all the unseen sacrifices, all those disciplines, he saw it all and said, maybe I just misunderstood him. And as he came to that painful realization, he said this, and this is what I want us to grasp onto this morning. He said, sometimes you don't fully understand a generation until it's too late to tell them that you do. Sometimes you don't fully understand a generation until it's too late to tell them that you do. That kid named John is actually a well-known pastor and a leader named John Maxwell. But before he ever led conferences, wrote books, he was just a son trying to understand his father. And some of us in this room, you're part of the younger generation and you don't actually or fully see what's been done for you yet. The older generation, some of you, man, are wondering, did what I do even matter? And can I speak to both of you with the same answer? It mattered more than you know. Younger generation who don't even know the foundation that you're standing upon right now, it mattered more than you know. To the older who's saying, did what I do even really matter? Are they even going to honor the foundation that the Lord built when I was in this church, when I was a teenager? Did you know that God wants to speak this to you? That it mattered more than you know? This is why division is so dangerous, because it blinds us to the value sitting right in front of us. It keeps the younger from receiving, and it keeps the older from feeling valued. So this morning, if you guys do me a huge favor, if you can stand to your feet, we're getting ready to head into this holy moment. If you can get those cards ready, If you have them, go ahead and just keep them right in your hand, right next to your chest. If you haven't, you can go ahead and make yourself available right now. You can go ahead and grab one. If you didn't grab one, I'll make sure I get you one after service. We have some up on the stations up top for everyone in the balcony. And as everyone's grabbing some, man, this is why division is just so dangerous. Keeps the younger from receiving, keeps the older from feeling valued. The older generation this morning, can I remind you, you're valued? Younger generation, can I remind you, you're valued? John Maxwell gives us a great point this morning. Don't wait until the generation is gone to honor it. So the questions I asked you earlier, who do you need to honor while they're still here? Who do you need to listen to? Who do you need to forgive and reconnect with? You see, the enemy wants distance between generations because distance kills what honor could have healed. So this morning, we're going to do something powerful, and I really feel like I need you guys to do me a huge favor. I need you guys to lock arms with me, and I need you guys to take a step deeper this morning, jump into the deep end. What we're going to do, I felt like it was important for our younger, these cards that are right here, the younger, there's this prayer on one side that's a prayer of honor. You do not have to pray this specifically, but there's a prayer of honor, and I want our young to go find someone, maybe a parent, a grandparent, a cornerstone of our church, and I want you to just surround yourself with maybe a couple of individuals, and I want you to pray over that individual that's in your group and pray that prayer of honor. Older generation, parents, grandparents, I keep saying young and old. Again, this is not an age thing. It's a spiritual maturity thing. But our older generation, parents, grandparents, I want you on the other side to be able to pray this prayer of blessing and pray a prayer of blessing over our young. Because I am telling you right now that if the enemy can't destroy the church, he'll divide it. And if we're not careful, we'll continue to walk into a building, say hi and have surface level conversations and walk out and not do life with each other. And it's important to know if we want to start to mend that bridge back, it's time to start blessing the young and honoring the old. So this morning, can we do this all across this place? The band's gonna start to play. They might start singing a song. I want this to be as authentic and organic as it can be. I want you to go find someone, and if it's a person right to the left or right of you, if it's your father or your mother, if it's your grandparent, if it's older generation to the old generation, and you guys want to pray a prayer of honor over each other, I just want us to go find someone this morning, and we're going to start building bridges back to make sure that the enemy is not going to continue to divide, but we're going to continue to come together. Can we do that all across this place? Can you go find someone right now?
And their children and their Lord, we thank you for this incredible word from our youth pastor of not just pointing out the problem or the causes of disunity, but actually cultivating the spirit of honor and blessing that's in this room. Lord, we thank you that we know that you're working, we see that you're working, and Father, this is a kind of message that's going to be a culture shifter for many years to come. Lord, we pray a prayer of blessing over the young people in this house, and we also pray a prayer of honor for those that have been a part of this foundation. Lord, we thank you that what you're doing in Parkway is not ending, it's actually just getting started. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for sons and daughters that are going to come home to you this year. And we thank you, Lord, for the expansion of your kingdom, because this church is creating a healthy environment where the Holy Spirit can move through relationships. Father, we thank you for what you're doing today and what we're feeling in this room. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says amen and amen. Would you guys take a few moments? Do what your youth pastor told you to do. Connect, build relationship, have some depth. God's doing some incredible things in this place. And we'll see you on Wednesday night for those of you that are going to be coming. God bless.